15 minutes to ignition. All systems nominal.
This is a DC Fusion podcast, punching another hole into the AboveTopSecret.com podcast universe. So sit back, relax, release your mind, and prepare to experience fusion between thought and sound.
There's a 68.71% chance you're right.
All systems have been alerted to your presence.
There is no law. There is no law.
Hello. This is DC Fusion, a member of the AboveTopSecret.com discussion board, bringing you a DC Fusion podcast number 5. And in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about a subject that I definitely find quite interesting, and that is UFOs. And more specifically, I'm going to be talking about a UFO sighting and crash that supposedly occurred in South Africa, near a town called Lesotho. And this particular incident has become called the Lesotho Incident. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get started on this interesting tale. On June 21st, 1996, a gentleman by the name of Hans-Jürgen Kyborg, a UFO researcher who lived in Germany, received an anonymous package. The package contained several documents detailing a UFO crash and the subsequent covert recovery and cover-up effort in Lesotho, a country in South Africa. The first page of these, at the very top of these documents, was a cover page, and the cover page had the following written on it: Operation ROLD TSR Ultra Recovery Data File. Warning: this file has been classified ultra under the National Defense Secrets Act No. 54 of 1989 and contains sensitive, strategic, secret information in the interest of defense and national security of the Republic of South Africa. In 1995, on September 15th, at approximately 10 p.m. local time, a farmer by the name of Mr. Peter Lachasa notified the local police of a craft which had crashed near his farm. According to the farmer, at about 9:15 p.m., he heard a strange sound in the sky followed by an explosion a few minutes later, and neighbors of Mr. Lachasa reported hearing the same sounds, but they also reported seeing a bright light in the sky that descended to the nearby foothills, and this bright light exploded into a series of bright flashes as it slammed into the ground. Mr. Lachasa reported to the police that he went to investigate what had happened, and upon reaching the crash site, reported that he saw a silvery gray craft emitting intense amounts of heat. In fact, apparently this craft was emitting enough heat that it set the surrounding grass on fire. At 11:20 p.m. Local time, Mr. Lachasa reported this occurrence to a local police officer by the name of Mr. Thobo. At 11:34 p.m., Mr. Thobo and another officer arrived at the crash site. The police officers made the following observations. A large, round, disc-shaped object had crashed near Mr. Lachasa's farm. The object was about 18 meters in length by about 3 meters in height. That's roughly about 60 feet by 10 feet. The object was dull gray in color. The officers were unable to locate any windows or entrances to the object, and there did not appear to be any damage to the object, even though the earth around and under the object had been massively damaged. Shortly after midnight, a report was faxed to the South African Military Command detailing what had occurred, as well as observational details. This information eventually made it to the intelligence unit, who made a request to the Military Traffic Control to provide any details of aircraft that may have been in the area at the time the unidentified object crashed. They were reported that no aircraft had been in the area at the time of the crash, and they added that the only aircraft in the area that night was a patrol helicopter that flew over the area at approximately 8:45 p.m. That's about a half an hour prior to the crash occurring. At 1:17 a.m. on September 16th, two helicopters were sent to the area. Upon their arrival, the following observations were reported. An area surrounding the craft, consisting of about 400 square meters, was on fire. A disc-shaped metallic object or craft about 20 meters in length was located in the center of this fire. and the object or craft appeared not to be damaged, even though the surrounding earth had been severely disturbed. Because of the smoke from the fire and the fact that it was dark out, clear observations could not be made, so orders were given to secure the area until morning. At 3:47 a.m., it was determined that the area and the craft had been secured, and Operation ROLDTSR had begun. ROLDTSR stands for Recovery Operation of Lesotho Disc, Top Secret Recovery. Because of the top secret nature of this situation, all military personnel at the site were given orders to arrest or eliminate any intruders. At 5:55 a.m., the Foreign Recovery Unit arrived, and the craft, as well as the alien beings inside, were removed to the Swartkopf Air Force Base in Pretoria. At the base, medical research was conducted on the aliens. However, no information regarding this research or information regarding the crash was ever officially released. This story is definitely interesting, but, you know, that's probably all that it is. It's just a story. You know, just a story to kind of like tuck into our, you know, favorite UFO stories folder on our computer. But there are a few things about this story that I found interesting. One of those being the detailed use of names and times. If you decide to read the actual account, and of course, on my blog, on my AboveTopSecret.com blog, I will have the sources listed. There's an abundance of names, locations, and times that, you know, could be researched to try and come to a conclusion as to whether or not, you know, this story is true. Oftentimes, when a story is made up, the authors employ tactics such as, you know, the names and places have been changed to protect the people involved, or the information is from an unknown source, and so on. Now, I'm not saying that just because this story has specific names and places, it is automatically true. Quite the contrary. The names may be made up, or if they are true, it would be awfully hard to verify the names as the incident took place in South Africa in 1995. But I guess that the fact that very specific names are given does lend just a touch of possible credibility to the story. And there is mention in the full account online, and once again I'll have the links in the sources when I post the transcript to this podcast on my blog. There is mention in the full account online, and you can check, you know, my source information on my blog, of Bob Lazar. Now, I can already hear you muttering under your breath. You know, anything with that name being mentioned is most assuredly false. However, in this account, Mr. Kyborg makes note of the fact that Bob Lazar is one who often falsifies information by recognizing other people who have stated that Bob Lazar is telling lies. And not only that, but Mr. Kyborg goes on to state that Bob Lazar did contact him and left a return telephone number. And apparently Mr. Bob Lazar told Mr. Kyborg that he was in California. But when Mr. Kyborg looked into the numbers that Bob Lazar left, they turned out to be numbers for Virginia, not California. So I found that kind of interesting as well. So the fact that Mr. Kyborg is pointing out the fact that Bob Lazar is often known as someone who often falsifies information. And another thing too, when I was doing research on the story, I came across a site that lists 10 interesting facts about Lesotho. And one of those interesting facts, of course, is this Lesotho incident. And another site that I came across indicated that this UFO story is a bit of folklore from Lesotho. And this is interesting because many times local folklore actually has a little bit of truth in it. Maybe this wasn't a UFO, you know, maybe it was an experimental aircraft. Of course, we don't know, but the fact that, you know, this story is being, you know, referenced as a little bit of folklore from the area, and you know, of course, my belief that, you know, folklore often has just a little bit of truth in it, I think adds a little bit more credibility to the story as well. So make what you will of the story. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Probably we'll never know, as is the case with many of these stories. But I definitely like it. One thing that I do enjoy doing is researching, I wouldn't really say researching, but looking into UFO stories from, you know, countries other than the U.S. or, you know, England, Canada. Basically, UFO stories from countries other than Western countries. And that reminds me when I was reading not really reading, but looking at a periodical that came out of Hong Kong had like a picture of UFO in it. You know, so now I guess I'm kind of looking into UFO stories from, you know, or UFO sightings from Hong Kong, which actually may be a future podcast. You know, we'll see if I get enough information from that. And speaking of Hong Kong, kind of a good way to sort of segue into a song that I found on PodSafeAudio.com. It's just kind of surfing around on PodSafe Audio. The group is the name of the group is Lejeune, and the name of the song is Kubasaki High. It's a really good song, so I'm gonna go ahead and play that now and let you listen to it. So that was Lejeune with Kubasaki High, courtesy of PodSafeAudio.com. And looking at my time here, it looks like I still have a little bit of time to sort of jump into...
Curious news. News with an ATS twist. It might not seem true, but it is.
So, this is a little bit of curious news. News with an ATS twist. Each one is true, even though it may not seem like it. Crop Circle Beer. There are varied opinions on the authenticity of crop circles. Most people believe they are a hoax, but a number of people also believe that they were actually created by some great force, whether it was a supernatural force or an extraterrestrial force. Those that believe also believe that eating foods made from the flattened grains providing increased health and unusual healing abilities. Building on this, or perhaps just cashing in on the gimmick, several brewers are making beer utilizing grain from crop circles. This is good news for those heavy drinkers, Now they can have their beer in excess and not worry about health problems. KFC's new marketing gimmick may attract extraterrestrials. KFC launched a rebranding campaign with an 87,500 square foot Colonel Sanders located, appropriately, in Rachel, Nevada, home of UFOs and UFO lovers, and apparently chicken lovers too. The logo consists of 65,000 1 foot by 1 foot painted tile pieces intricately laid on the ground to form the logo for KFC, and this logo is visible from space. And that's about it for this podcast, a DC Fusion podcast number 5. I hope you enjoyed it, and take care of yourself wherever you are.
Transfer complete.
This has been a DC Fusion podcast, hosted by the number one conspiracy and alternative discussion site on the net, AboveTopSecret.com. Additional information about this podcast may be found on the DC Fusion ATS blog at http://blog.abovetopsecret.com/DC Fusion.
I feel much better now. I really do.